this is your Polycast for Monday, April 16th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a DFL primary shapes up in the 8th District and the debate over how to improve water quality. Democrat Angie Craig will face incumbent Republican Jason Lewis in this year's race for the 2nd Congressional District seat. Party delegates chose Craig on the first ballot at their nominating convention over the weekend, and it wasn't the only convention, as Matt Sepik reports.
Craig lost narrowly to Lewis in 2016 and faces him again this fall in the South Twin Cities Metro District. In the West Metro's 3rd District, DFLers chose business executive Dean Phillips to take on Republican Eric Paulson, who's also seeking another term. In northeastern Minnesota, DFLer Rick Nolan is not running again in a district President Trump won easily. After 10 rounds of balloting, none of the five candidates could muster enough votes for the DFL endorsement on Saturday. Leah Pfeiffer of Isani led the pack, followed by former state representative Joe Radinovich. Primary voters will decide who will take on the likely Republican nominee, St. Louis County Commissioner Pete Stauber. Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota and other states are weighing their options as the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency plans to weaken vehicle emission standards. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
The efficiency rules, known as Corporate Average Fuel Economy, or CAFE, were created during the Obama administration. President Trump's EPA says they're a burden on American automakers and would make cars and trucks more expensive. But they could also put a significant dent in future greenhouse gas emissions. And Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Commissioner John Linkstein says they would also help address a public health problem.
These vehicle emission standards are a broad tool that help reduce air pollution from vehicles. Vehicles are the number one source of air pollution in Minnesota.
Stein and MnDOT Commissioner Charlie Zelli have sent a letter to EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt urging the agency to reconsider. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Governor Mark Dayton wants state lawmakers to approve a program that would allow nonprofits to operate suicide call centers. Right now, Minnesota has just one call center that answers calls from the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Dayton says a $969,000 competitive grant program can maintain the service.
Literally, people with training can save lives and also buy some time for on-site assistance. So I think it's crucially important and it saves lives in Minnesota. It's well worth the effort.
The Crisis Connection call center could shut down in mid-May without more funding. Water has been a major focus of Governor Dayton's tenure in office. Dayton pushed for Minnesota's buffer law and held town meetings across the state to talk about how to improve water quality. But finding agreement on solutions hasn't been easy. As part of our special month-long intensive focus on water and water quality, Kirsty Marone has this report.
Jerry and Linda Jennison have been raising dairy cows on this land just east of the North Fork of the Crow River for almost four decades.
When we moved here, we had, I believe, 50 milking cows. Today we have 200.
Now the family runs a successful dairy farm and creamery that sells cheese to stores across the Midwest. Along the way, the Jennisons took steps to protect water long before anyone told them they had to. They don't use commercial fertilizer, and they plant cover crops like alfalfa that keep soil from washing away. When Minnesota passed a law requiring vegetative buffers along public waters to filter out nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen, it didn't matter much to the Jennisons. They'd already planted one 15 years ago.
We're constantly being asked, you know, why do you do these things? What's your motivation to try to protect the water? And, you know, my answer is always the same. We do it because that's the right thing to do.
Figuring out how to get more landowners to take those kinds of actions has been a big challenge for the Dayton administration. The governor set an ambitious goal of improving Minnesota's water quality 25% by 2025. But consensus on how to achieve that goal has been elusive.
I think the 25 by 25 initiative is a great example of how people's desires and their intentions are not yet matched up.
John Linkstein is commissioner of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. He says that during Dayton's town hall meetings, it was clear that Minnesotans agree on the importance of water, but not on policies to protect it.
What I heard from people was they want to make a difference there. They intend to make a difference. How you get the difference to occur is the trick.
Part of that trick is finding the right balance between the carrot and the stick. voluntary programs that encourage landowners to take action, and regulations that force them to. Dayton has tried both approaches. His administration proposed rules for applying nitrogen fertilizer aimed at cutting nitrates in drinking water supplies. He also started a voluntary certification program for farmers who take steps to protect water quality. But with less than a year left in Dayton's term, there's much work left to be done. About 40% of Minnesota's water bodies don't meet pollution standards. There's growing concern about contamination in the state's groundwater, where most Minnesotans get their drinking water. Some clean water advocates argue the state must require action to see real progress. Betsy Lawton is an attorney with the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy.
Those voluntary measures clearly aren't going to get us to clean water. Sort of that Minnesota nice approach isn't going to solve our water quality problems.
But there's been pushback to new regulations. Lawmakers have introduced measures to block the nitrogen fertilizer rule, as well as changes to a water quality standard aimed at protecting wild rice. Representative Paul Torkelson, a Republican from Hanska and a farmer, is one legislator with some reservations about new regulations that single out his profession.
We want to protect water quality just like everyone else does, but sometimes some unreasonable expectations placed upon agriculture that seem to focus too much blame on the industry.
Back at their dairy farm, Jerry and Linda Jennison say financial incentive programs helped them afford to take water protection measures on their farm. They say offering more of those incentives would encourage landowners to do the right thing.
So when a new program comes up, when a new opportunity comes up for us to implement something new, we're willing to take a look at that, and we're willing to perhaps, you know, do that on our farm as well.
State officials say that kind of stewardship at the local level will be critical if Minnesota is to make real strides toward cleaner water. Covering the environment, I'm Kirsty Marone, Minnesota Public Radio News, Bruton.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.